God is infinite. It's not a dilemma to him. There are no apparent paradoxes to God. He has no dilemmas. There is no confusion. There are no unresolved issues. I think it's a great testimony to the fact that God wrote the Bible, because if a committee had written the Bible, they wouldn't have allowed for such impossible tensions to exist. They would have fixed them. You know, you're an editor, you fix everything. So, but the fact that it's there means the book is transcendent. These things are not resolved. And I rest in the perfections of God, in the perfect wisdom of God, the perfect justice of God, the perfect righteousness of God. And I give him all the glory for the salvation of all who are redeemed. And I give him all the glory to be displayed in his wrath, because he is a God who will receive all glory and only glory, for all that he does is glorious.
This is a difficult doctrine. And you've already said it was difficult for you. Describe for us briefly your own struggle with the doctrine of election and how it is you finally came to grips with this.
Well, my own struggle with that doctrine comes from my emotion. It comes from the influences of my fallen heart. It comes from my expectation that everybody ought to have a right to make a choice. And it also comes from the early years of my Christian experience when I didn't understand what it meant to be depraved. As a young Christian, I didn't understand how really dead the sinner is. That is the bottom line issue here. Salvation has to be all of God. If you understand the doctrine of human depravity, if you understand what it means to be utterly unable to do right, unable to know God, dead in trespasses and sin, in the most profound kind of unalterable death about which you can do nothing, and if you understand there is no human merit, there is no human effort, there is nothing we can do to alter that situation or to please God, out of the doctrine of what I call utter human inability comes the doctrine of election. It was when I understood the sinfulness of man and the total inability of the sinner to do anything about his condition that I was left with nothing but the doctrine of election to solve that problem. That doesn't, of course, as we've said today, solve all of the tensions. We'll have to wait for heaven to come to a full understanding of that.
Now, I want to ask you today some questions about the practical ramifications of this doctrine. Some would argue that the doctrine of election encourages fatalism and discourages people from being evangelistic. What do they mean by that? Where are they coming from, and how would you respond to that?
Well, I think that's a straw man. How could the doctrine of election lead to fatalism and indifference to evangelism when